we clear ourselves of us and fill them with thee, with the Lord. The difference is we can pray with people if they'd like it, and we can, many times in my field, you cannot, there's a boundary between emotional work and spiritual work, and you can't cross that boundary. Well, the reality is we're integrated and you need to cross the boundary, but many therapists won't do that. And in our center, we can do that, and people not only change behaviors at times, but they actually heal, because Jesus is the healer. So people come to me and they say, I can't believe the difference. I had a gentleman that came, he's been in therapy 12 years, and within a few months, and it could be all the work he's done all along, but within a few months, he really is in an extraordinarily different place, which is wonderful.
Well, I know you're a very inspiring person, and I think that anything that you can help these people with your experience must be a tremendous value to them. So
they do say that. Yeah, they do. They're very grateful.
Yeah.
We have people that are grateful. When they come into the center, and it's I'm renting space, I'm not part of, I'm renting space at St. Elizabeth's in Melville, New York, St. Elizabeth of Hungry Parish. And when people come into the center, what they do say is they feel a peacefulness there. The center itself is located in a building that was a convent at one point. So we're actually meeting in the rooms where the sisters were.
Where the sisters were.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It must be a very hard time of the year, too, for a lot of these people.
Yeah, this is a very difficult time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've done workshops on why the holidays are so difficult for a lot of people. I think Father Peter was saying a few things about that. Do you want to add to that, Father?
Just reiterating that the holidays, which we're welcoming the Prince of Peace, we're welcoming the Babe of Bethlehem, and yet we're fighting with each other more, it seems, that around the holidays. And it's probably because, number one, the financial pressures of meeting all our, what we imagine are our social responsibilities for gifts and presents. And then also because we're going to be meeting relatives we don't see often, and that can often dredge up memories of 10, 20, 30 years ago, arguments, issues, confrontations, disappointments, hurts, and all of that that have been buried during the year, and all of a sudden we're going to be gathering as what we hope will be a big, happy family, but all of a sudden lots of other stuff is surfacing, and it may lead to that. So we really do have a special challenge at Christmas time, a special challenge at Advent. Remember, the church is the only one promoting Advent. Everybody else, right from Halloween, is promoting Christmas already. So you gotta be around church to get Advent, which is really necessary for grasping the real Christian spirit, the real spirit of Christmas. So I would say I didn't want to terminate Carol's presentation prematurely, but for sure, for heaven's sake, it surely is a time when we need special preparation, but it's worth it. It's worth it, and I think the bottom line is take time out to be with the Lord, and I'll talk about that when you tell me to. Okay, how about
we need a lot of prayer, extra prayer during this time.
Yes.
Yeah, people need to remember to, maybe say the joyful mysteries of the Rosary, which would bring the story of Jesus to life for them.
That's right.
And the things that would commemorate the Lord being, coming to us.
That's right.
And his birth.
Right. And that's on the spiritual side, but on the emotional side, as Father Peter says, during this time, people are getting together, and not only are they getting together, but then they're also using many more substances, like alcohol or drugs during this time.
Yeah.
And that precipitates a whole big explosion in a family system, which should have been a nice gathering, and because people's impulses are not as controlled as at other times.
Exactly.
So, we talk about, as Father Peter said, peace, and that's what it's supposed to be, but I guess we're very disordered people. And the peace has to be within us, I think, right, Father?
That's right, that's right. But the Lord will guide us through it. I mean, look at the three wise men, okay? And the line I love, and they returned to their own country by another route.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the Lord inspired them that Herod was it all. He presented himself to be, and was, you know, was planning something very different for the Christ child than what the wise men were. So the Lord guided them, and they probably didn't fully understand why, but they were impelled to return to their country by another route, not going back through Jerusalem and kind of dealing with Herod again. So, you know, when Herod realized he had been deceived by the Magi or whatever, or had been, you know, that they didn't cooperate as he had planned, then of course he went into a rage. And so we see that Jesus comes into the world, but he brings the sword, it seems, just as he brings peace. So we have to think of these. Sometimes it has, even in families, there has to be a shaking out a little bit of something so that a new thing can be built. But the Lord is always on the side of reconciliation and harmony, and certainly we want to be able to talk to each other at the holidays in a beautiful, you know, exactly. in a good way.
I love that term, shaking out.
Shaking out.
You know, it has to be almost leveled before it can be rebuilt in a different way. We all need a shaking out.
It's like that song, shake it out, shake it out, baby.
That's right.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, holidays are tough for those who mourn also. And I don't know, Joan, would you like to share on that?
Well, I'm having a very tough time with the holidays coming because of losing Tony. And as the listeners know, you know, Tony was my husband for 54 years. And so this will be the first year in 60 years that I haven't had a holiday with him. You know, and I know that joy is from God, and that joy is not the same as being happy. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to be joyful. I'm trying to be joyful for God because we have the coming of Christ, and that's in my heart, but my heart is very heavy.
And for those who are mourning, it's okay to mourn during the holidays just because the idea is it should be joyful, or it should be happy time. I love the way you said that, the joy is in your heart, but you're not necessarily happy.
But I can be joyful for the Lord coming, you know.
I think
peace.
Tony would want that too for you.
I mean, even feeling peaceful, it doesn't mean that there's not chaos. It means that the Lord is coming. That's a different feeling for me, you know. But there's still that underlying hurt that remains. So.
And I think people who are mourning need to honor that. They shouldn't discard it. They should honor it and just understand that even Mary mourned.
Yeah.
I think, right, Father Peter?
Well, I suppose that one of the reasons that the Lord can eliminate more suffering from the world is that it's hard to say this, and because the suffering is so awful for the innocent and for children and so forth, but the idea that if the Lord removed all suffering, perhaps many people wouldn't seek him.
I agree.
If people didn't suffer in some way, it is that, you know, that, and then of course all the ultimate suffering is death. And so, you know, because of the fact that, you know, human nature can be very self-centered and can worship the self rather than God, you know, perhaps one of the reasons that even a loving and caring God cannot remove all the suffering is because it's his only means of getting people to come back to him. You know, now, let's just take what Mrs. Chufo was saying as she's terribly missing Tony. You know, she can say, "Come, Lord Jesus." You see, she could say that, you know, more earnestly, and that, you know, Jesus is the one who fills up all the empty spaces in our hearts. And it doesn't mean that she and Tony will be reunited again in God's kingdom. Of course they will be. But on the other hand, maybe she cries out, you know, more earnestly now, "Come, Lord Jesus." I know I was with my sister yesterday who cared for my mom. My mom passed away earlier this year at 99 years of age. And, you know, just in talking to her about, you know, this being the first Christmas for her without mom, it's my first Christmas without mom too, but she was the caregiver, the principal caregiver, so her life has really been changed tremendously. And but it is it's wonderful for her. There's a little support system at the church. People kind of, you know, reach out to each other, and then very nicely the pastor out there offered her a small job in the rectory, which has enabled her to find outlets for her energies and outlets for her, mm-hmm. for her care and concern. So it's, you know, the Lord will do good things for us if we let him. I think that's the important thing. We got to let the Lord do a few good things to us. Now, Advent is really a time for waiting. Okay, it's different from Lent. Lent is par excellence the penitential time, getting ready for the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord. But we're reliving the long history of the Hebrew and Jewish people in our hearts, yearning for the Lord Jesus. So even as we're celebrating his birth in Bethlehem, we're looking for his coming today, and we've got the ultimate far, the long-distant horizon of the second coming of the Lord. Okay, so all three comings are really celebrated in Christmas, okay? And so we should never forget that also, okay? But we need the baby in Bethlehem to help us warm up to Jesus.
Okay? Right.
If we're thinking about only the powerful right. returning king coming, we might not get as close to Jesus as if we didn't have an opportunity, in a certain sense, to worship him as a helpless child, as a simple little baby. So that's, we need that in our humanity. So we need Bethlehem in order to get to the second coming, just as we need Lent to get to Easter. So it's a good time. Look at the Isaiah the prophet. You might, to get preparation for Christmas might include, in terms of meditation, Isaiah the prophet. Anything in the New Testament about John the Baptist? We have one of the climactic episodes this week about John asking, are you really the one? Sending a message to Jesus. Well, did John doubt, or was he confused about how Jesus was handling it? We're not 100% sure, but Jesus says some wonderful things about John, and then says another very fantastic thing. As great as John is, a man born of woman, there's none greater than John the Baptist, but the least in the kingdom is greater than he. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, here we have John the Baptist, in a sense, the greatest of the prophets who pointed out the Lord, but the bottom line of it is that the gifts and fruits of the Spirit poured out after Pentecost will allow ordinary believers to do things that John didn't do. You know, like the healings, the revelations, the sharings, the use of the gifts and so forth, prophetic things, that even John, because he was still under the old covenant, so the least in the kingdom is greater than. So we got a lot to live up to, folks. If we're gonna surpass somebody like, we're the least in the kingdom, but we got a big model there in John the Baptist.
Right.
A lot of courage there. A lot of self sacrifice.
Yeah, I think that's what it's about too. You know, Christmas is a time of giving. Advent is, as Father was saying, a time of preparation. Advent reminds me a time for a woman. I akin it to like the pregnancy, being pregnant. You know, you're going to have a child.
That's what I said. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
right.
What she said.
You're going to have.
I said the
okay,
same
there
thing.
You go,
yeah,
there you go.
So yeah, but you know about it. But you know, it's just like you think about having a baby. You're preparing.
Preparing
mm-hmm. for that child to be born, and there's an anticipation and excitement about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, there are many things to do. You know, just like an Advent. But an Advent is the spiritual thing that we're doing, you know?
Yeah, and I think that is very difficult because as much as we're trying to keep the focus on the spiritual, there's also a lot that needs to go into preparing on a different level for the Christmas season, for the birth of the child, and preparing our souls. You know, we talk about having skin because we're human, and then we're also spirit. So what Advent really has to do with is diminishing the humanity more so the spirit can take off, right, Father?
Yeah.
I think we're on good target
right.
there, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So the spirit can take off more, whereas the world, they want, you know, everything to be about human. You know, what's the gift that we get for this person, or the gift we get for that person? And we forget the spirit, like the gift you can get a person, our prayers, our masses, are different kinds of sacrifices that one would make in order for the spirit of the person that you love can really rise more, mm-hmm. can really rise more. Mm-hmm. But how often do we hear about that, or how often do we think about that? We think about what is that perfect gift, the perfect gift. And the perfect gift is really something that would increase the value, not the value, but the purity of the soul of another person.
It's the presence of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm hoping I'm going to get a present from Carol. Look at the wonderful philosophy, the wonderful philosophy of gifting that this fine person has. I'm looking for what my gift from her is.
I got the party.
That's right.
This is our Christmas.
It was wonderful party. Company. Yes, it was. That's right. I did get the gift. I have to apologize. I did
no,
get that
don't
fine
apologize.
Gift.
I just teasing. I had a question, Carol. I was going to say Joan. Would you suggest for people who mourn or who are going through a rough time this Advent to offer prayers for maybe their loved one, deceased loved one, or what are some suggestions you have for people who are?
I think they need to, I would say that, yes, they can pray for their loved one, and also they can pray for themselves and their family, because they're suffering as much as their loved one might be suffering. But if they wanted to give a gift to the loved one, it doesn't have to be, once again, that, you know, now we're really talking about what I was talking about before. Because in humanity, Joan gave a gift to Tony, probably, a material gift during Christmas. But I was talking about doing something for the spirit. So now you really can do something for the spirit when the person's no longer here, because there is, his humanity has diminished now, and he's in the spirit place more. But he can also, who knows, right? The communion of saints.
There's
he can also be
saints.
Praying for Joan and his family, offering up his redemptive suffering for Joan and the family. There could be wonderful blessings. But along the same lines, this is interesting, I think. But you'll let me know if you think it's interesting. I think it's interesting. But it might not be so interesting to everybody else. But when Jesus, we know Jesus, he's spirit, but have we really touched Jesus or held Jesus like in human form? We haven't. Well, when someone passes, what they're really entering into is the mystery, just like the birth of Jesus. We can no longer touch them. We can no longer feel them, but we know they're with us, just as Jesus is with us. Just as you can, you know, touch another, if you could touch a baby, then you can feel it. And because we're human, we see that more. But the closer we get to Jesus, the less that humanity means. And you can really feel the birth of Jesus. You can really feel that Tony, although he's not physically present, I'm sure there are times when you feel his presence, John.
Yes, of course I do, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and I pray for him.
And I'm sure he's praying for you, too. But mourning it's okay to mourn. I think one of the things we have to recognize as we go along in the journey is, though, ask the Lord for whatever he wants from us. Because remember, as we're mourning, this is part of our lives, and our lives are limited, too. We only have so much time.
All things are possible with God.
Yeah.
You know?
I like what you said, because I was just thinking we're all connected to Jesus through his spirit. So Tony, since he passed, he's with Jesus, but he's always with Jesus. And I like to think of when we go to adoration or we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, we're receiving our loved ones, and
mm-hmm.
and that he's there with us, you know, or the other people who've gone or who are suffering. We're all in this together.
Absolutely. I never thought of that before, but I have felt it lately.
With
you see, it's important.
I think so.
The communion of saints is important enough to get into the creed. You know, it's one of the basic, you know, let's say 12 things that are lined up right in the Apostles' Creed: the communion of saints and life everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So you see, it really was central enough in the thinking of the early church to get right into the creed. And yet, I think it's been a little bit removed from people's piety and people's devotion in recent centuries. Maybe Pope Francis got it back on track a little bit with the Year of Mercy and the gaining of the indulgence for the Year of Mercy, you know, and then making it easier for Catholics across the board to participate in that by allowing local doors to be opened, you know, so that people wouldn't have to travel to Rome or to Washington or wherever, but right in their own diocese. But the communion of saints is what we've been talking about. And it would be a good thing for folks to get a refresher course. Look at the catechism. There's several pages on it, okay, about the very kinds of things you're talking about. The church militant, that's us. We're still fighting with sin and temptation and evil in this world. Okay, the church suffering, well, they're that's purgatory. They're making up, but they're also connected to us. So we're connected to them. And then the triumphant, those are the saints. That beautiful picture that we have of all the saints, the white-robed saints in the book of Revelation. So let's think about the big picture for Christmas also. It's about the babe in Bethlehem, but it's about this whole sweep of God's plans and the way we're all interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And with this Year of Mercy,
I've gone through the doors for myself, but then I went back for Tony. So
right.
I think maybe that was a gift I gave him.
That's
too.
Right. That's right. You
big
can go
gift.
Back.
It was wrapped with
yeah.
a big bow.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Tony appreciated it.
Yeah.
Might have been the best gift you've ever given him, John. Not just,
I
don't know.
Maybe.
You don't know.
Might be. Yeah.
Anything for man's salvation, right? The salvation
right.
of his soul really is a gift.
Yeah.
A real gift. But I feel, right now, I know this was Dr. John Palmer's seat that I'm sitting in.
That's right.
And I do feel his presence here. I do feel his presence here. So I'm sure that everybody's cheering us on. And I'm sure your mom will be present to you,
that's
too,
right. That's
this
right.
Christmas.
That's right, this Christmas. First Christmas without mom. You know, when somebody lives that long, you just kind of start taking it for granted they're always going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, especially, I mean, I'm 72 myself. And, you know, to have made it to my 70s and still have my mom around is kind of amazing. But you
it
didn't
is.
Think you
mm-hmm.
didn't think of that years ago.
Yeah.
But it is really true. And so, and I have to be sensitive to my sister, whose life, you know, really revolved around her in
yeah.
so many ways for so many years. I also think of my good friend Deacon Dave Campbell passing on. You know, he was
that's
you know
right.
had many many physical conditions that he struggled with for many years. But when it came, it seemed to come suddenly also. So I know that that even as he's in our prayers, we know that that he's helping us out too in a lot of different ways. A lot of things he didn't get to in his own life in this world, he'll help his children, grandchildren, and us to do, you know,
that's
on
right.
on his behalf. In a certain, the communion of saints, once again, a big one,
mm-hmm.
a real big one.
Communion of saints, great thing to think about when you're at Mass and receiving communion.
That's right. We always say, you know, and all the saints and angels in the preface, before we say the Holy, Holy, the last line that the priest reads, you know, together with the saints and angels and so forth, that sometimes names the different choirs of the thrones and dominations and all of the rest of them, they're the dominions, you know, and our angels and archangels. So there you have, certainly right, at a beautiful time of praise, that the Holy, Holy is derived from Isaiah's vision in chapter 6. Of the Lord, you know, enthroned in majesty. So it really is a good way to get a sense of that. Well, not only are we praising God, but the angels are there doing it the same type of thing. And it's the basis of that piety we offer. You'll see the crucifix, and the angels will be gathering the precious blood in the chalice, and it's a mystical
mm-hmm.
sense of
that's right.
of the Mass
yeah.
continuing the sacrifice of Calvary, and the angels being there worshiping the Lord too.
I feel that's angels cool. around us. I think they're around us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they are.
Sure.
Yeah. Of course, we all have a guardian angel.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I love the angels personally. I mean, it's sometimes it's a little hard, but once I feel like they're like our big brothers or big mm-hmm. sisters that are there to help us, and they, you know, they pray for us and they love us. We could just. They're not quite people, but since they're made out of God's spirit, we could say that they love us and they want to help us. And
that's
and,
right.
It's a great feeling to know that we have a supernatural being that's there with us, our guardian angel. And St. Michael, St. Raphael, St. Gabriel, our guardian angel, they're our friends. I like to think
mm-hmm.
of them as our friends, and I know it's like a weird concept in the beginning, but I think it takes some time. Like
I think they protect us at times.
Yeah,
sure.
But it takes time, and
So what's the text in the New Testament that talks about guardian angels? There's a text. It starts out, "See to it that you do not despise these little ones." And then what does Jesus say? "Don't despise the little children, because their angels behold the face of God."
Oh.
It's a beautiful thing.
Oh,
you know, in other words,
beautiful.
And even the little children have a guardian angel, but the angel's not only watching them, but he's got his eye on God too. So
that is beautiful, Father. So it's like almost they're like transitional between heaven and earth.
The heaven and earth.
Right. And when Katerina was talking about, it protect, or Joan was, I forget who, but the reality is that the one of the words that are used very often now are superpowers. So I guess the angels help us with becoming more into our superpowers or our gifts or our desires, right?
Right.
They're
that's
like
that's right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Since they're super like natural with God's grace, they could help our grace in us grow even more if we we ask for their guidance and their help. I'm sure they're with us in the Holy Spirit when we go to Mass, when we pray. It's a great
idea. I think the Blessed Mother helps me tremendously too in my grief and overcoming the feelings that I have. But I think of her patience, her courage. Mm-hmm. You know, she had such strength, and I try to take some of that from her.
Well, she was also a sorrowful mother, right?
That's right.
The Pieta. Very beautiful.
Yeah.
She's one of the Advent figures, too. Now, we transition now after the Gaudete Sunday, the joyful Sunday. That's the pink vestments, and we were remarking how Katerina intuitively wore pink today to help us. She was
get
asking,
ready.
She knew she was going to ask about she knew she was going to ask about Advent, so she had to model attentive behavior.
Mine's kind of rose.
But this time now we have a shift from Isaiah and John the Baptist more to Mary in the second half of Advent. Now we have all the episodes about Mary. And the beautiful thing is that she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. That's an interesting event too. We don't know. You know, did she go alone? Was she accompanied?
Get there? She walks, is right?
We were just talking
about that.
Well, people walked everywhere in the ancient world. They didn't need to go to the gym.
No,
just the women knew how to balance a 50-pound jug on their heads. Okay, and the guys had to deal with horses and oxen and pull. If you're dealing with animals that big, you've got to be pretty strong.
That's right.
You've got to be pretty strong.
And
you know?
Did the Blessed Mother walk by herself? And was it a long distance?
We're not so sure.
Yeah.
We're not so sure what was the distance. We know that when Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple at 12, they were traveling with a caravan. You know, because it says they thought he was with another part of the group.
Different.
So several hundred people or 1,000 people, you know, moving at once. For safety from robbers or whatever it might have been, that type of thing. They figured Jesus was hanging out with some of the other kids at the bottom of, at the back of the pack, but it didn't turn out that way. He had big things in mind. So that's. But it is.
But she was alone when she went to.
She may have been alone. Yeah.
Probably.
And talking about angels, whenever there's an angelic appearance in the Old Testament, the person is usually frightened. Is awestruck or something by the powers, but when you get to the New Testament, and also Zechariah too is startled when he said, you know, Zachary, the husband of Elizabeth, but Mary and Joseph, well, Joseph gets the visions in a dream, so he's buffered a little bit, but I mean Mary's the only one who seems to be, you know, naturally she's super attentive, but she doesn't seem to be frightened. It's an interesting differential there, because in the Old Testament. And when an angel appears, you know there's a holy awe that settles right in, you can see that in every instance. So we have to be attentive. The angels are part of Advent too, right? And at Christmas time we get that big choir of angels.
We don't see that
in the scriptures too much. You know, it's the biggest apparition of angels recorded in the scripture is for the shepherds. Christmas night, so we shouldn't forget them either.
I was thinking choir of angels, like the choir, like the human choir on Christmas when you hear all like the Christmas songs.
Oh, okay.
But then I realized you said about the shepherds and the choir of angels.
Yes.
But they're very similar in a lot of ways, right? One is spirit, and the other is in human form. Going back to this Advent theme, so yesterday. My husband and I went to dinner with another couple, and they're of a Christian, they're a Protestant, they're Methodist, and I said to them, I was thinking about coming on today to the radio, so I just asked them, what about Advent? Because it is part of the Christian tradition too, Advent. However, they were very unaware of Advent, so I think a lot of people are unaware of Advent. I really do, unless you're really into your faith. You're unaware of this preparation. And to me, Advent, this preparation seems so difficult because on the one hand, we are over there trying to like go in, understand the Lord more, diminish our humanity more. And that's much easier to do for me, at least in Lent. than it is in Advent.
Right.
Because in Advent, we're over there, you know, like I said, we had a Christmas party, like, you know, and then people are always, part of Advent right now is you're celebrating. You're celebrating. You're already rejoicing. It's almost, I guess, like having a baby shower before the baby's born.
Exactly.
You're already, but it's a consistent baby shower, like one after another, you know, to celebrate before the baby's here.
Is that okay? Like, that was one of my questions, to be, well, I guess today is rejoicing, so it's okay to rejoice during Advent before?
Well, it's a different mood from Lent, that's for sure. Par excellence, Lent is the penitential time, but repentance is part of Advent too, but it's a part of a larger thing. I mean, John the Baptist is a big figure, and of course, what is he doing? He's offering a baptism of repentance, getting ready for the Messiah, you know, the Christ who is to come. Are you the Christ? No. Are you the prophet? No. Are you Elijah? No. Who are you? I heard a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so then he says, so he's John the Baptist does call for a change of attitude and a change of heart and repentance, but it's a different sense. There's a sense that, you know, I don't want to miss what's coming. I don't want to miss him when he comes.
Yeah.
I want to know who he is, and when he starts talking, I want to be there. I want to soak it up, you know. And I don't want anything, you know, any baggage hanging around me that's going to prevent me from getting there, to be there when the Lord comes and when he begins to deliver his message and begins to usher in the kingdom and so forth, you know. So this is what, you know, this is why it's so amazing that John from prison, you know, sends his friends to ask the Lord, are you he who is to come, or do we look for someone else? Because Jesus is doing the healings, he's doing the driving out of the demons, he's even raising some from the dead. But it also, in the prophecy, it's in Isaiah, when the Messiah comes, he'll also set captives free. And of course, who's the most famous captive in the whole of Israel? That's John the Baptist. Herod has put him in jail. There's nobody more famous, more famous prisoner than he, and yet John's not getting out. He's not getting out. Whether he went through personal doubt, or whether he was confused about the timing of things, or we just have to, you know. So we just have to follow what the text gives us. But Jesus praises John, you know, in the highest way, and just in a way he doesn't praise his apostles. You know how Jesus really is very skimpy in his praise of the apostles. I guess they had a lot of spiritual growing to do, but John had already done it. But what does he say? But the greatest in the kingdom. The least in the kingdom is greater than he. So we had a lot to think about when we think about John and how Jesus valued him, but promised greater things to come.
So that's part of the reason why confession would be a very good, for those who are Catholic, very good way of readying our spirits, getting ready so we can see in our souls Jesus, the babe.
That's right.
Right? During this particular time.
Sounds ready.
You know, of course.
It sounds like a time to go to confession. Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
It sure does.
And I think staying in the quiet during this time, staying in the quiet from a therapist's point of view, the best thing that a person can do is to clear their minds of themselves and just stay in that quiet space. I mean, there's all different faiths that talk about, you know, meditation or just staying in the quiet 10, 20 minutes a day. It's so important, and it's such a great way to connect.
That is a great thing to do. I think it's so hard for people now to give themselves 15 or 20 minutes.
It is
out of the day.
Right.
You know, in order to just stop the craziness of what's going on about the commercialism of Christmas.
Right. People, they let themselves feel guilty that they haven't done this, they haven't been, they haven't gotten the right present, they haven't showed up at the right party, they haven't, done this courtesy or that, and really it becomes Christmas becomes a string of setbacks and defeats rather than a set of victories and joys.
Should be to please God, not so much to please
God rather than people. Right. Yeah, yeah. Wow.
I think Father Peter's on target with that. I know. You know, people think, oh, I have to get these Christmas cards out, or I have to do this, or get this perfect gift. I have to get to this store. Everything has to be perfect.
Yeah.
And there is no perfect Christmas. No. And oftentimes people come to me with that in counseling. mm-hmm. that they just are so anxious, and then they get disappointed because the person receiving whatever they're giving is
not impressed.
Not quite as impressed as
not
this,
receiving
so.
Very well. Not,
right. So it's really kind of funny. Right. It really is funny. So it's always our humanity and our spirituality, kind of our spirits, that are always in that tension of being human and yet having a spirit, right? There's a lot of tension with all of that. And that's very difficult for all of us to transcend. Yeah, but that going into the quiet would be a wonderful way to really, and people can't clear their minds neither. They many times, and I've been there. At one point in my life, I couldn't clear my mind neither to stay like in the empty space. But that's where the answers lie. I know when I took a course on contemplation, I was told, like, see the thoughts racing through your head like a train going by, and don't attach to any of them. Don't attach. Just allow the thoughts to go by as you're trying to stay, and don't give up. Just bring it back. Say a word, Jesus, or some kind of mantra to get back into where you need to go in order to stay in the emptiness, because that's where the Lord is found.
Mm-hmm. I think many of us can remember a simpler time, too, years ago when Christmas wasn't so hectic and so many presents and so many things to buy and things to do. You know, I think it was a different life, you know, that people had at that time. And Christmas meant the birth of the Lord.
That's right, that's right.
You know, it meant something more to people than it does now.
Right. Well, what does it mean to you, Katharina? You're of a different generation than the rest of us.
Katharina's not an odd generation. She probably knows nothing of what I'm talking about.
No, I mean, I know what you said is kind of true, in the sense that we are occupied with gifts and we want to make people happy, you know, and have a good meal. And I think that's good. But I think it's also very important to have that spiritual development, and that to know that God, that Jesus is the greatest gift that we have, you know. He's the reason for the season,
exactly.
as they say, that we have life because of him. And I think that our faith is very important, and it's I hope that more people come to the faith and know that God loves them, and that it's not just about the commercialism or secularism or things of that nature. I love my faith. I think that there's so much great things to uncover and discover, and you're always learning something new and growing, and that God's love is the constant, you know, and we just have to persevere, like what you were saying. And I also thought of Mary before when you said about the contemplation and the pondering, because at one point in the scripture, Mary says it, it says about Mary, she pondered those things in her heart, and we think, what does that mean? That makes no sense. How can you ponder in your heart? But I like that you gave us a practical way of how to contemplate, because I feel a lot of times people want to, or they want to take those 5 minutes just to relax, but we don't know how, or we don't know, like what Father Peter said before, come Lord Jesus, just say come, and just to be thankful, like allow that gratefulness and God's love to come to you, and just to say, like, thank you, Lord, and just allow just that mantra to come. And I think, like,
even journaling, sometimes people can start journaling during this time.
Yes, that's a good point.
Of the season.
You might not be able to take the commitment to do it all year, but you could commit yourself to the 4 weeks about it. Let me make an entry once a day.
Right.
For the 4 weeks, you know, to see where the Lord leads me, and see what, you know, see what I connect with once
what
a day.
What your thoughts are, and you know, see if your thoughts can be controlled more towards Jesus if you give yourself that time every day.
That's right.